This is an ABC podcast.
This is Baby Talk Podcast with Penny Johnston.
I think almost everyone has a terrible breastfeeding story, either starting, finishing, or any of the stress and pain in between. Although, of course, my dearest wish is that everybody has a completely unremarkable and easygoing breastfeeding experience for as long as you want it to happen. But if problems occur, there are very few devices available to help during those really difficult times. I want you to think about the pain of mastitis, blocked ducts, or milk supply when you and your baby are just finding your way into breastfeeding. Etta Watts Russell is, or at least was, a lawyer. Her experience of breastfeeding was a roller coaster ride, and when she experienced issues, she was surprised at the lack of practical solutions available. And when you're in a crisis, just being told breast is best endlessly is not exactly a helpful solution.
We should just really focus on giving mums the best success and the best experience. And I suppose that's my North Star with Lactimo, is trying to achieve that, and certainly not shaming in any way or judging in any way as to what people are or aren't doing. It's their business.
It's scary, but apparently 92% of mothers experience symptoms such as oversupply, undersupply, blocked ducts, pain and mastitis. And because there isn't anything available to help these really specific conditions, it's quite possible that you might just be left feeling it's all your fault. So let's meet Etta to find out about what she did to solve the big problem for breastfeeding women. And Etta, exactly how do you introduce yourself these days?
It's a funny one because I'm at a transition point, really. So I always, you know, you kind of like your name, you say it without even thinking, and you say your profession without even thinking. And I've done that for 15 years. But now I'm sort of at that transition of, am I still a lawyer? I'm not practicing as a lawyer, but am I not? And then, you know, what's the new job title? So I still say that I'm a lawyer. And I think that's helpful in just to sort of to give that sort of background in terms of I'm not a healthcare professional or whatever. But yeah, essentially entrepreneur in the medtech, femtech space, and looking at creating this product, which will really, I suppose, give mothers the best possible experience and the best possible success in breastfeeding.
I suppose we should find out about your gadget, gizmo thing, which is called Lactimo, and tell us what it actually is.
Yes, so rewinding a bit, I suppose before having children, childbirth was the only focus for me. You hear so many horror stories about childbirth, and breastfeeding wasn't even on my radar as a potential difficulty. So like many mums, I assumed that breastfeeding would just happen automatically. There would be an on-off button, and that couldn't have been further from the truth for me. So Lactimo essentially is a femtech product. It's a first-to-market, unique, reusable ball for breastfeeding. It combines temperature, movement, and compression in breast massage. And these components have the ability to address the most common breastfeeding problems: undersupply, blocked ducts, and engorgement in particular, but then some other key breastfeeding problems as well.
And if you were actually looking at it, what would you see?
It's as soft as jelly. It's about the size of a golf ball, and it's got hollow surface lumps. And so just a massage ball, really, which is directly applied to breast tissue to facilitate breastfeeding. And you can heat it and you can cool it, and it's reusable. So very, very simple. And it's made specifically for the elasticity of lactating breast tissues.
Now, there's got to be a story behind creating this.
Absolutely. So as I just said, before having children, childbirth was the focus for me, and I hadn't really realized about breastfeeding or looked into it at all. But it was I struggled with breastfeeding with all of my four children. So I've got Amelia 10, Otto 8, Ingrid 4, and Albert 2, and I just felt like I was running into every roadblock imaginable. And those problems are always changing with breastfeeding. One minute it's undersupply, the next minute it's pain, then it's blocked ducts or engorgement or whatever. So many different, really diverse problems. And something that I assumed would be really simple just became it was a daily struggle for me, and it just made me feel like a complete failure. I think that really knocked my confidence right at the start of motherhood, when you're already feeling so vulnerable. And I thought I was the only one. I think probably the fact that there weren't many products to help with the problems that I was having made me assume that, I suppose, that not many people experienced the problems themselves, and that there wasn't a widespread problem given the lack of help and solutions. So I just really tried to battle on and do my best. But it was with my third child, with Ingrid, that I joined a really supportive and amazing mothers group. And everyone was really honest and open. And I realized that it wasn't just me that found it difficult. And it wasn't just my friends as well. The more people I started speaking to, I really realized it was a more widespread problem. And I spoke to lactation consultants, healthcare professionals, midwives. And there's a staggering quote that I came across from UNICEF, that no country in the world meets the recommended standards for breastfeeding, which is just so disappointing. I think in Australia, 96% of mothers initiate breastfeeding, which is awesome. But by 3 months, 61% of babies aren't being exclusively breastfed. And the statistics, I could go on and on with all those different statistics, but I was just so disappointed in finding those out for myself and realizing that it wasn't just me. The World Health Organization has reported that babies and mothers worldwide are being failed by a lack of investment in breastfeeding. So breaking it down, I think most breastfeeding mothers, so it's 92% of breastfeeding mothers, experience common problems. So that's oversupply, undersupply, pain, milk ducts, engorgement, infections, all those problems that I've mentioned. They're all really common. And so many official studies have looked at these and shown that they're all major factors in causing women to stop breastfeeding, both directly and indirectly. So to me, it was just the amount of problems for mothers is so disappointingly and needlessly high. And the statistics show that there's a lack of support and effective treatments to deal with these problems. So I think that's really the turning point for me, when I realized everyone else shared the same struggles and that I wasn't navigating this alone. So I suppose in seeing that there was such a real problem and the extent of the problem, and experiencing this firsthand, really gave me a great background in understanding what needed to change. Obviously, having gone through the process myself, I could understand what a solution would look like. So I spoke to lactation consultants, healthcare professionals, and I was just met with such overwhelming positivity for the idea. So, as I said, Lactimo, it's this first market unique reusable ball for breastfeeding, and it facilitates that combination of temperature, movement and compression and breast massage, which is a world first, which is exciting. So the approach of combining those three things has been extensively researched in the world, but there's just no products which have been developed which incorporate the results of this research. Yeah, so I suppose really my mission with Lactimo right from the start was to give other mothers a better success than I had had with breastfeeding, and a better experience, and hopefully to not feel like a failure like me.
It just seems crazy when you think about it that we all just leave the hospital expected to get on with it. And if so many people have troubles.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's probably so many reasons for the fact that there are these different problems, which are different in different places. But I mean, certainly in Australia and in many countries that I've looked at, I think there's a few key reasons for those problems. I mean, certainly with me, as I said, I just thought there'd be an on-off button and that it would just be easy. When you wanted milk, there would be milk. And when you didn't, there wouldn't be milk. But I think that maybe there's a misconception that because breastfeeding is natural, that it's therefore easy and that support isn't necessary. So of course, while it is natural, it's also a learned process. And indeed, it isn't even right for some people. And so I think it's just really important to have support in any learning process. And I think just in looking at the poor breastfeeding statistics, it's proof in itself that support piece is failing. And I think there's a culture of showing perfection rather than reality, and not showing our vulnerability. So in particular on social media, and a reluctance to talk about areas where support is needed. And I mean, we're starting to embrace that in lots of areas with mental health. We really need to embrace the support piece in breastfeeding. So much judgment, there's so much pressure to breastfeed, it's no one's business. a happy mum is a happy baby. So we need to, I suppose, take away all of that pressure and judgment, whether it's judgment for not breastfeeding for long enough or even judgment for breastfeeding for too long. Everyone has their own reasons, right. Just let people do what they do. It's no one's business. And as I said, you know, we should just really focus on giving mums the best success and the best experience. And I suppose that's my North Star with Lactimo is trying to achieve that, and certainly not shaming in any way or judging in any way as to what people are or aren't doing. It's their business.
As a lawyer, how on earth do you go about going, I mean, you identified the problem pretty easily, but how did you go about finding the solution?
Oh, I thought at the beginning of the journey, I just thought, well, I can visualize this solution and I know what it would look like. And it's really simple. So I'll just ask somebody to manufacture it and then just make it available. And I thought it would just be that simple. And my husband has looked at me from day one, sort of, no, it's definitely not going to be that simple at all. So in the early stages, to me, it was a really simple idea, at least I thought. I didn't have any manufacturing background, wasn't familiar with the process, and just thought it'd be straightforward. But the complexity of the skills for the team that I needed to put together was really wide-reaching. So that's industrial designers, medtech commercialization experts, healthcare professionals, and then in the R&D process, finding the best materials for the elasticity of lactating breast tissue, the perfect gel combination for the filling. And even when we had this understanding, to look at the best manufacturing process for that, which would allow the thinnest walls, the hollow lumps, all of those sorts of points that we needed for it. So the first thing that I did, as being a lawyer, I got the IP for it, which sort of really just puts a stick in the ground to say, now I've got X amount of time that the idea is protected for before you then invest in the next stage of IP. So I did that, diarized, and just a few months before that was up, I basically just outsourced everything to all of those sorts of professionals just to get their opinion on the idea before I invested further in it. And they all just came back with a resounding yes, you know, do it. I'd had another baby in the meantime, so it was good to get all their expert opinion because I was brain dead myself. But since that stage of deciding to, with all that feedback, deciding to go with the idea, it's just really been a matter of looking at all of the points for it, a medical grade silicon, all of the different medical certifications. I can't count the number of iterations and prototypes that we've had in the last 18 months in the R&D process, but I think every step took us further towards our specific criteria and ultimately our solution. So yeah, definitely an uphill process, but really we've got such an amazing team, and I think it all comes back to that point of determination and passion to help find a solution for these common breastfeeding problems. And yeah, I think I've had some really good contacts that have helped in that sort of process. So at the end of the R&D process, we had an offer from Deakin University and the Western Health Partnership to fund and to independently carry out a clinical trial on Lactimo. So not sponsored or endorsed by Lactimo in any way. So they were at liberty to conclude that Lactimo was rubbish if they wanted to. But the results from that independent trial have just been, I think, one of my proudest moments. You know, you can always sort of ask your friends, what do you think of this, and other mums and that sort of thing. But to really get that sort of independent feedback. So 100% of the mums who participated in the trial said they'd recommend Lactimo to other mums. So lots of validating moments in that journey, in that process of the R&D for the product. And I think that really, you know, gives you that momentum to then take everything to the next stage there. So some fantastic feedback, great people that we've been working with. There's Professor Linda Sweet, who's chair of midwifery at Deakin University, has called Lactimo a potential game changer in breastfeeding. It's really great to get that sort of feedback now.
It's lovely. But now, how does it actually work? And I mean, obviously it doesn't quite take the place of a lactation consultant, but how does it improve breastfeeding for us amateurs?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's essentially works. It harnesses the power of breast massage in lactation, and combining that with temperature is what all of the research and studies have supported and recommend. So essentially it's rolled over the breast and it's aimed at stimulating milk production and flow and a letdown reflex, helping clear blocked ducts and helping relieve swelling and pain. So it essentially facilitates that combination of temperature, movement and compression in breast massage, which has been extensively studied, but just no products have been developed to incorporate the results of the research. And really interestingly, there's been some research looking into the benefits of breast massage, showing that it has the ability to improve the quality of breast milk. So there's the different types of breast milk when you start feeding, and then at the end of the feed, you've got different types of breast milk there. So the studies have looked into how breast massage can increase the total solids, lipids, casein content and gross energy there, which is seen as the good fat in breast milk. So proactively and reactively, the potential for it for such a simple product has been really exciting.
When you were experiencing your breastfeeding difficulties, what did you use before coming up with the idea of Lactomo? Was that just a packet of frozen peas and a hot washer?
It's so primitive, and you know, there's just such an underinvestment. It's a really exciting space to be in because there's so much potential for new products to help with breastfeeding. And I hesitate, I'm not a product person, so I don't sort of say problem has to have a product solution or whatever. You know, there's obviously that sort of space for, I think there's a big support piece and everything in there as well. But for some problems, I think there's a real space for products there and a real need for them as well. You know, just taking engorgement and block ducts and lumps that if you leave them, sorry to be so gruesome, but you know, if you leave them, you know, can turn into mastitis, those sorts of problems there. So certainly in my journey, I just didn't find that there were the products that I wanted and needed. And as I said, initially that translated as, well, therefore I'm a failure, because if there aren't products, then, you know, there isn't a need for them, so it's only me. But no, it was a real sort of journey in realizing that it was just a gap in the market where, you know, more help was needed. So I ended up sort of massaging out lumps and, you know, sort of swollen areas for what felt like hours at a time when I was a mum breastfeeding. And, you know, I didn't have the time to do that. I was tired. I didn't know if I was doing it in the right sort of way. So definitely all of that negative process for me was the catalyst for all of this. And really, it just came down to, for me, that supportive mother's group with baby number three that was the sort of, I suppose, pulling everything together, that light bulb moment of realizing that there really was such a gap for what I could visualize as helping me, had that potential to really translate to helping other people as well.
Did you have a prototype in place for baby number four? Did it make a difference?
Very primitive prototype. I don't know if you, it probably wouldn't really class as a prototype, but yeah, it definitely, I could really sort of understand myself and translate what was being fed to me from healthcare providers and those sorts of professionals to then translate that and see what that actually translated as in practice. So yeah, some sort of prototypes, but no, I'm tempted to have another baby now, but that ship has definitely sailed.
Well, I was gonna say,
I'm not tempted.
The response so far with the clinical trials has been pretty good.
Yeah, really good. So that was just an introductory trial. So, you know, your basic first trial. But as I said, 100% of mums on that said that they'd recommend it. And it's really great just to get that sort of insight and feedback from that really independent viewpoint there. So, you know, they didn't have any sort of reason to in any way push the product or whatever there. So yeah, I got some really great offers for further trials, both in Australia but also internationally, which it's really just global charities and healthcare providers who've approached me and I suppose seen the potential of the product and have offered to do some various different studies and trials to really showcase that and to show the potential and the credentials of the product there. So,
and it must also be a great product for, say, lactation consultants to use, because the face-to-face visits aren't always possible at the moment.
Yeah, definitely at the moment, absolutely. And that's where we're really seeing so much interest as well, is with those lactation consultants and midwives who are wanting to give it to their patients. So yeah, it's really early days for us. We literally only launched last month and Australia's our first country. But yeah, we're getting requests and interest every day. People internationally are getting in touch with me asking if they can buy it or stock it. So yeah, we're just really trying to move as fast as possible to make it as widely available as possible. So it's great to have that interest and demand there already.
So I'm interested, what was the harder job, being a corporate lawyer or entrepreneur with kids.
Oh, it's apples and oranges, isn't it? You can't really compare, I think. You know, I've definitely done my all-nighters as a lawyer, and I've definitely done my all-nighters as a mum. So there's some similarities, but they're few and far between. Yeah, I suppose it's just I've appreciated my career as a lawyer, but now I think this new chapter, which it very definitely is, just the feedback that I get from it is it's a completely different career, I think, in that sense. So it's great just to really have experienced that vulnerability and to then have mums individually reaching out and getting in touch with you and just saying thank you, you know, you've really helped me. So really, really heartwarming.
That must be very satisfying, perhaps in a way that it's not as satisfying to be a lawyer.
Oh yeah. I think so, yes.
Etta Watts-Russell, inventor of Lactimo, a multi-award-winning breastfeeding aid that might be helpful for you. I'll put some links onto the Baby Talk website. And when we're talking about breastfeeding, last week we spoke about the potential dangers of dehydration for your baby, something that can be really worth keeping an eye on, especially during our hottest days.
It is a really big challenge because, as we all know, babies tend that they can't sweat, so they tend to be more likely to overheat than anything else. You know, women that have babies in the winter, they can add lots and lots of layers and work to keep baby warm. It's very hard in our climate to actually do the same thing in the summer, to actually get baby cooled down. You know, particularly when you're breastfeeding, you've got baby up against your skin, it's very, very easy for both mum and bub to get quite hot.
That podcast can be found on the Baby Talk website, which is easily found by searching Baby Talk One Word. It's also on the ABC Listen app and most other places you find your podcasts these days. Again, just search Baby Talk One Word. I'm Penny Johnston, and I'll see you next time on Baby Talk.
ABC Baby Talk is a weekly podcast on ABC Digital Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, and on the ABC Listen app. Like us on Facebook to find out as soon as a new episode is ready. Just search for ABC Baby Talk.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.